Offense Podcast.
Greetings, Reds fans, and welcome to the Blog Red Machine Pastime Reds Podcast. I'm your host, Cam Miller, a staff writer at blogredmachine.com. And this, of course, is episode one, and it's all about opening day in Cincinnati, Ohio. There's nothing quite like it in all of sports. Such a great and grand tradition. Now, this is through the blogredmachine.com site. I'm sure most of you know that. It's how you found this podcast. But if not, blogredmachine.com is through the fansided.com network, which is part of the sportsillustrated.com family of sites. So if you haven't already done so, be sure to check it out. Some great writers covering their teams through the fansided network. Steve Engblom, the senior editor at blogredmachine.com, and Michael Engel over at Fansided, doing some great things. Great writers, great coverage, following your Cincinnati Reds. Now, let me tell you a little bit about how I want this podcast to work, hopefully, if all goes well. As the title suggests, it's Pastime Reds Podcast, so we're going to talk about all things from the Reds' past. I'm going to kind of give you some interesting facts and figures, dispel some of the myths from the great tradition of the Cincinnati Reds, and we'll talk about all things historical when it comes to the greatest franchise in all of sports. Now, in this episode, we're going to talk about, of course, opening day, give you some facts and figures and some interesting tales. And I'll give you my random red, which is a segment I'll have every episode where I discuss a lesser-known red. And at the end of the podcast, I'll give you my all-time opening day team, which I'm sure will stir debate throughout Reds country for decades to come. But before we get into the opening day segment, I thought I'd just briefly kind of give you an idea of who I am, a little bit of my background. I worked for the Cincinnati Reds Hall of Fame and Museum for a few years there and worked doing some research and through the education department, and also did some film work for them, which led me to start my own freelancing job. I'm now freelancing as a filmmaker, producer, and audiovisual and multimedia content producer. But the good thing, the cool thing is that my number one client is still the Cincinnati Reds Hall of Fame and Museum. I am honored to still produce the films and the audiovisual content over there at the Hall of Fame. And started in 2006 with the 1919 exhibit. Hopefully most of you got a chance to go check that out. That was a lot of fun, and did some of the Legends Live On DVDs that you see in the lobby, and of course the exhibit films from Pete Rose and Johnny Bench, now Joe Morgan, the Crosley Field exhibit, Big Red Machine. The list goes on and on, but truly a fantastic gig. I mean, I get to meet a lot of great people working with the guys over there. Great group of guys. It's a great organization, and I'm, like I said, honored to get a chance to work with them and produce the films over there. It's really, really, really cool. Get to meet some great people, and there's always an interesting story or tale with every exhibit, but it's really neat, and I'm happy to have been doing it now for quite a few years. So, when was the first opening day for the Cincinnati Reds? Well, kind of a sidebar here. The Cincinnati Reds that you know and love and root for today, and I kind of touched on this a little bit in an article, and I'm definitely going to have to do an entire podcast on the subject, is the 1882 Cincinnati Reds. That is where the Reds of today begin. Now, I know what you're thinking. What about 1869, the first professional baseball franchise in history? Well, it's true. They were the first team from Cincinnati, but they are not in any way, shape, or form related to the Reds today. It was a different team. It was their Cincinnati Red Stockings, and they disbanded in 1870. And we've had a few Reds teams over the years, but the one that we can definitely say is the Reds of today. They go back to 1882. Now, the first opening day for the Red Stockings was May 4th, 1869, and they played the Great Westerns, and they beat them 45-9, and it was only in front of a couple hundred fans. Of course, you have to realize opening days back then were not nearly like they are today. So May 4th, 1869 was the first official match for the Red Stockings. Now you got to fast forward all the way to 1876 for a different Reds franchise who began play in the new National League. And their first opening day was April 25th, 1876. And the Reds beat St. Louis 2-1 in front of a crowd of about 2,000 people. Which brings us to the very first opening day in the history of your Cincinnati Reds. And that was the American Association Cincinnati Reds home opener at Bank Street Grounds on May 2nd, 1882. It was the debut of Reds second baseman Bid McPhee, who of course is in the Reds Hall of Fame and the National Baseball Hall of Fame. But unfortunately, the Reds lost that opener 10-9. Before a crowd of about 1,500 people. Now, an interesting little note to that game was a few days prior, the Reds had signed a substitute player named Harry McCormick. And his job on opening day at Bank Street Grounds, he took tickets in the grandstand. So if you can imagine today, a bench player like, Chris Heisey or something on opening day taking tickets. So times have changed. Now, it's important that we can put this into context here, and this is actually very important for future episodes. Try to explain a little bit here of how we should go about the telling of the Reds' history. Now, there's nothing wrong with embracing the 1869 Red Stockings. There's nothing wrong with embracing the 1876 Cincinnati Reds. Two different franchises, not associated with this one, but if it wasn't for Harry Wright and his merry band of Red Stockings, who's to say that baseball would be what it is today? And even if it was, would Cincinnati have a franchise? So it's extremely important, and we should definitely fully embrace the Red Stockings and what they meant to this game. And being that it was the first professional team, and they were from Cincinnati, we should incorporate them some way, somehow, into the Cincinnati Reds franchise, much like we should the first National League team in 1876 before they disbanded. I guess a good way to look at it is it's no different than the telling of American history. You talk about the Pilgrims coming to North America and their story, how it translates into as we progress into the Founding Fathers. It's no different with the 1869 Red Stockings and what they brought to the table and how it encompasses the history of the franchise today. It's all one big tale, and the 1869 team has accomplishments and feats, and their history should fit into the context, into the Reds canon. So when you look upon the Great American Ballpark facade there and you see established 1869, technically they weren't, but it's important that we do have that history. And throughout my episodes and my podcasts, I will talk about the 1869 team, the 1876 team, as well as, of course, the 1882 team. So it all comes together into one great story of Reds tradition. So when was opening day considered opening day? When was it treated as a special day? You got to remember 1869, 1876, and even 1882. That was just the start of the baseball season. There was nothing special about it. There was no fanfare or hoopla. It was just the beginning of the season. But in 1886, April 17th, 1886 to be exact, it was a glorious 75-degree day at the Cincinnati ballpark. Canaries in cages greeted the patrons outside of the ballpark when fans came in. The Cincinnati Orchestra Reed Band played hits of the day in a pregame concert, and 5,460 fans jammed the ballpark. Unfortunately, the Reds lost to Louisville 5-1. So, that brings us to 1889, And they outdid themselves. The Cincinnati Reds officials, the city leaders, they decided to make this the opening day of all opening days. Bunting and decorations adorned Cincinnati Ballpark. The full orchestra came out this time, not just the Cincinnati Reed Band, but the full Cincinnati Orchestra played a pregame concert. Even club president Aaron Stern gave out team photos to every lady in attendance. And what was that attendance? Try 10,410 people, the largest crowd to see a baseball game in Cincinnati at that point. Unfortunately, the Reds fell 5-1 to St. Louis, so 10,410 fans went home disappointed. And that takes us to 1891. Now, 1891 is one of those, again, I'm going to have to dedicate an entire podcast and perhaps an article to this subject. 1891 was a very, very strange year. You might argue that it was the most strange year in the history of baseball, not just the Reds. I will definitely do something with this subject. It's very interesting. But I will say this, in 1891, as it pertains to opening day, there was a parade, not one parade, but two parades, because there was two teams that played baseball, both named the Cincinnati Reds, although one was known more as the Kelly's Killers in the American Association. The Reds were in the NL at this point. So two teams, two parades. So that's definitely an interesting year in the history of Reds opening day. Now in 1895, Frank Bancroft comes onto the scene and he puts his stamp on opening day. This guy was one of the most ingenious, the greatest promoters baseball had known at this point. So Frank Bancroft, the grandfather of opening day, he returns the street parade. The parade had been gone for a couple of years. He invites five men associated with the 1869 Reds to come and see the game. The papers refer to it as a half holiday. Weber's band gives a pregame concert. The mayor, John Caldwell, throws out the very first pitch at a Cincinnati opener. So the 1895 opener with under the direction of Frank Bancroft really set the stage for the opening days that we know today. Now, there have been many memorable opening days, some great wins, some bad losses, some great weather, some bad weather, but I'm going to tell you about my personal favorite opening day, and it's one that I never even saw. It was 2005, and it was my first day on the job as a staff member at the Cincinnati Reds Hall of Fame and Museum. Now, this was the first time that the Reds Hall of Fame and Museum had been open to the public on opening day. My job was to stand in the back by the Rose Garden, where the wall of baseballs are, near the stairs, and I would direct patrons on where to go and point out different aspects of the museum and show them where Pete Rose's ball was hit, 41-92, etc., etc. Now, on this opening day, and if you might remember this, if you were there, if you're a Reds fan and can recall this game, it was beautiful weather, it was gorgeous, and Joe Randa hit a home run to tie the game, and then Adam Dunn stepped to the plate. Now, as staff members, we really didn't have time to watch the game because we were working in the building, so we would run to the television set and catch a few glimpses of what was going on, and then run back to the stations before our bosses would notice. Now, when Adam Dunn came up, you could hear a pin drop, or I guess a rose petal drop. It was quiet, but you knew there was some kind of excitement because everybody was running. You could see the people from the concession stands running to see what was going to happen. I had no idea what was going on, and then it happened. It was the loudest explosion of sound I have ever heard in my life. As the ball cascaded towards the river, as the crowd got louder, as the ball went further, all of the staff members ran outside as we heard the crowd. And just as we got outside, we heard the explosion of fireworks and got to see him overhead as Adam Dunn rounded the bases for a walk-off Reds win on opening day. My first as a staff member at the Cincinnati Reds Hall of Fame and Museum. I'll never, ever forget it. Now, baseball is a game of tradition and sometimes unwritten rules. One of those unwritten rules is that the Cincinnati Reds open up at home every single year. In fact, it used to be that the Cincinnati Reds were the very first game on the schedule. It was a tradition. But with big market TV money and marquee matchups, that's not the case anymore. And in no rule book will you find that the Reds are supposed to open up at home. It's just one of those traditions that's been passed on through the years and continues to this day. Now, in each episode of the podcast, I'm going to bring you a segment called Random Red. What's a random red? Well, it's a random red. I'm going to tell you about somebody you probably have never heard of, or maybe you have, you just don't remember him. And in this particular episode, I'm going to tell you about Dane Clay. Now, Dane Clay is probably not as familiar as Pete Rose or Johnny Bench or Joe Morgan, but I'll tell you what, he had a very good day on opening day 1945. In fact, it was one of the best offensive performances on opening day in Reds history. Dane Clay was born in Hicksville, Ohio on July 10, 1919. He made his professional baseball debut with the Cincinnati Reds in 1943 at the age of 23. Of course, he really wasn't anything to write home about. He played in 49 games, 269 batting average in 106 plate appearances, and then more of the same in 1944. He did play in 110 games, but he only batted 250, and he has yet to hit a home run. That was until opening day 1945. So imagine the Pirates' surprise as the bases are loaded and Dane Clay walks to the plate and proceeds to hit his first major league home run over the left field wall for a grand slam. On opening day, no less. But he wasn't done yet. The score was tied in the bottom of the 11th. The bases were loaded again. And what does Clay do? He hits a deep ball to the outfield that goes over the outfielder's head. And the winning run scores. The Reds win opening day 7-6. Dane Clay only played four major league seasons, all with the Cincinnati Reds. And he only hit three home runs his entire career. But that one home run on opening day made Dane Clay an opening day hero. He finished with five RBIs, two hits, a home run, which was a grand slam, and one run scored. And that's this episode's Random Red. Okay, now it's time for my all-time Reds opening day lineup. Now, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, this is going to be open for debate. And I'm sure there's going to be somebody that's not on this list that you're going to say, hey, wait a minute, how can he not be on the lineup? But without further ado, here's my all-time Reds opening day lineup. At pitcher, Mario Soto. Soto was 4-1 on opening day, including a 10-strikeout game in 1982, and he pitched in six openers, which is the most of any Red. So pitcher, Mario Soto. At catcher, Ernie Lombardi. Yes, Ernie Lombardi got the nod over Johnny Bench. Ernie Lombardi hit .342 in 10 opening day games for the Cincinnati Reds. And although Bench had a great career and was a Hall of Famer, no doubt, but Ernie Lombardi gets the nod at catcher. At first base, the big dog, Tony Perez. Perez had 14 RBIs in 11 opening days, which is the most of any Red on opening day. He had four RBIs in the 1974 opener, and he also had four RBIs in the 1976 opener, and he hit two opening day home runs. So at first base, Tony Perez. At second base, Bid McPhee. Bid McPhee played 17 opening days for the Cincinnati Reds, and he was a .344 batter on opening day. Bid McPhee, second base, slightly over Joe Morgan. At third base, Heinie Groh. Heinie Groh hit .375 in six opening days. At shortstop, this was the toughest one of all. It goes to Barry Larkin. It was a toss-up between him and Dave Concepcion, but Barry Larkin played in 17 opening days and hit .325 with three opening day home runs. In left field, Peter Edward Rose. I had to find a place to put Pete. You can't have a lineup without Pete Rose, and he played five opening days in left field out of the 17 total with the Cincinnati Reds, and he had eight RBIs. So left field, Pete Rose. In center field, no-brainer, Eric Davis, two opening day home runs. In 1987, he had three hits, one home run, three runs scored, and two doubles, and he played in seven opening days. In right field, it's got to go to Ivel Goodman. Ivel Goodman batted 419. He was 13 for 31 in his Reds opening day career. So right fielder, Ivel Goodman, the number one highest batting average among Reds opening day players. And the manager, none other than George Sparky Anderson. Sparky Anderson was the greatest manager the Reds ever had. He was 6-3 on opening days. So there you have it. There's my all-time Reds opening day list. Well, that just about wraps it up for the first episode, opening day, of the Blog Red Machine Pastime Reds podcast. I'd like to thank Josh Kovaleski for assisting with the intro. And if you'd like to drop me a line, you can tweet me at Cam Miller Scribe, or you can email me cammillerfilms@gmail.com. That's cammillerfilms@gmail.com. Also, check me out at blogredmachine.com. Thanks for listening. And this podcast is history.